Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this June 30th, 2019, the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And so it becomes a, we've been through a lot of feast days. Last weekend, the Corpus Christi, the Body and Blood of Christ, Holy Communion, which, of course, is a big deal in the church, the biggest of deals. And all of these sacraments, I think this is something that really needs to be remembered. The main differences between the Christian churches, and especially with the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has seven sacraments, and we hold those sacraments to be true and beautiful and good. But the thing is that they carry with them grace. So it's sacramental grace. So every time we receive Holy Communion, the grace of God comes into us. In a real way, God comes into us. And we believe that. We believe that that is Jesus, and we believe that the sacramental grace comes upon us in receiving all the sacraments, of course. So, and with a lot of the other churches, they just believe, just plain old grace, and that's fine, and no sacraments, and that's their program. But you know what? That's very new. That's very new theology. And the theology of sacramental grace, of receiving these sacraments, goes all the way back. We talked about Melchizedek. Sacrifices and the bread and the wine that Melchizedek brings out. So just, if you want to go back and look at that again, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Very powerful indeed. So let's go on with our readings for today. And in case you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you're interested in becoming Catholic, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. You can also go to holyfamilyradio.net. And of course, above all, we'd be amiss if we forgot about Saving Nazareth, savenazareth.com. You can go on to that website and read all about the what we're trying to do is to save the historic mother house and chapel out at Nazareth, out on Gall Road. And the sisters have built a new facility back behind it. And we're just trying to convince them that, that building could be used. There's many organizations right here in Kalamazoo that could utilize that facility. And we're just begging and praying. So my brothers and sisters, if you got anything to pray about this week, and especially, of course, 4th of July, praying for religious liberty too, not only in our country, but in other countries too. But to pray for that the Sisters of St. Joseph change their minds about tearing down that beautiful historic mother house and chapel. So we're going to go right into the readings today. And our first reading is from 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19. And it is 16. And then 19 through 21. The Lord said to Elijah, "You shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, and of Arabalana, as a prophet to succeed you." Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen. He was following the 12th. Elijah went over to him, threw his cloak over him. Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and I will follow you." Elijah answered, "Go back. Have I done anything to you?" Elisha said to him, and taking the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. use the plowing equipment for fuel to boil their flesh and gave it to his people to eat. Then Elisha left and followed Elijah as his attendant. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading today is from Galatians. Galatians 5, 1, and then 13 through 18. Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called for freedom, brothers and sisters. But do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And then our gospel reading. Our gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 9, 51 through 62. That's Luke 9, 51 through 62. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." "But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." But he answered them, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another he said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who has set a hand to the plow and looks to what is left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, some great readings here today, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're glad you're with us here today. I'm a deacon out at the St. John Bosco Catholic Church in Matawan, as well as St. Margaret Mary's in Marcellus. And this is really a fun radio program that we do every week. We've been doing it for a couple of years now. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it gives me great joy to do this as far as a part of my ministry. And I wanted to let you know, how I compile my scriptures each week. You know, usually it's done in adoration. I sit in adoration for an hour or so and go through the Catechism of the Catholic Church in regards to what the scriptures are telling us, what the Church is telling us, what Holy Mother Church is teaching us and trying to teach us on what the scriptures are telling us. And of course, last weekend, the gospel was silent, and the church was silent in a certain way. And it was really quite beautiful, you know, to where we have to decide individually ourselves. You know, my brothers and sisters, you know, the political season is upon us now. You know, this last week, there were the Democratic candidates for President of the United States, and not a single one of them is pro-life, not one of them. And so I really am astounded by it and saddened by it very much, too, that politics has gotten to the point to, you know, what can you give me? What power can you give me? What right can you give me where I have power over my fellow brothers and sisters, my fellow human beings who I walk this planet with, you know? And it's really quite sad. But I was telling someone this week too, I says, you know, make politics about 1% of your life. 1% of your time. Don't spend a lot of time on it, okay? But I'll tell you what, if people are not interested in saving the youngest, most vulnerable people in our society when they are in the womb, if they're not willing to protect that life, why would they protect you? Why would they care about you? Why? Because you can vote, or because you can produce a paycheck, or you can vote for them. I think that's the main thing. They want you to vote for them over and over and over again, no matter what. But I don't want to get stuck on politics. What I want to talk about is transformation, our own decision. And we see that in our first reading from Elijah and Elisha, you know, where it's very fascinating. And the Catechism says this, and it's about being anointed, this anointing, and the word Christ, okay? But in the Catechism, page 436 of the Catechism, it's just this one for this reading, is that Christ comes from the Greek word Messiah, which means anointed. It is proper to the name of Jesus only because he accomplished perfectly the divine mission that Christianity signifies. Divine mission, see? In effect, Israel, those consecrated to God for a mission that he gave, were anointed in his name. This was the case for the kings, priests, and in rare cases, for prophets. They were anointed. The anointed one. Jesus, the Christ, anointed. Being anointed. Chrism, see? Christ, chrism. Being anointed. So I ask you, my brothers and sisters, do you feel anointed or not? And if you have not been anointed, receive the anointing of the sick. If you've been baptized, if you've been baptized in the church, you have been anointed. If you've been baptized in the Catholic Church, you've been anointed with the oil of catechumens, with the chrism oil on the crown of your head. You were anointed with that. So we are all anointed in this mission of Christ. And that Holy Spirit coming into us gives us the ability to discern these politicians to discern in a certain way what the truth is. But we can also get influenced to it to the point to where we turn it upside down. So instead of being only 1% influenced by it, maybe we're 50% influenced by it, right? So we're in this constant state of rage and anger and panic. Well, I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, you're not praying enough. You're watching too much news and you're depending upon people, politicians, who are basically interested in power and position and office. They're certainly not concerned about human life. You know, they say they are. They say they are, but why does none of this ever gets fixed? It never gets fixed. The immigration problem never gets fixed. The problem with the poor, and I know that the poor will be with us. Scripture tells us that. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you look at how things have gone. Look at how the last 40 years have gone, where they promised us, you know, all this freedom, how much better things would be. You know, just let everybody do what they want to do. Make everything legal. Make all the drugs legal. Any type of sex you want to have, that's legal. Divorce, we're going to make that legal. Everything's going to be legal. Do whatever you want to do. But we'll see here in 2 Corinthians that it doesn't work. The Apostle Paul tells us it does not work. That the only thing that truly sets us free, truly free, is Jesus Christ and relationship with Jesus Christ. Now a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to do that rigor. I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to drink beer all day long, or I want to smoke meth, or I want to have sex with whoever I want to have sex with as many times as I want. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. It does matter. Look at the people who are dying. 300 people a day in the United States are dying from meth. 300 a day. And fentanyl and heroin and all these drugs. We've legalized marijuana now. See? You know, drunkenness, you know, is still being celebrated. You know, prolific, you know, do whatever you want, sexual activity is being celebrated. Right? But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we are lost. We are lost. And we need to be honest with ourselves. And of course, many people will say, well, you know, people are leaving the church. People are going to leave the church. Yes, they are. You know, Pope Benedict the 16th said that, you know, maybe the church will have to get smaller. You know, we're not in the car business, my brothers and sisters. We're not, you know, bringing in new members and having big parties and playing all kinds of fancy music. We're telling people the truth. The truth that Jesus Christ proclaims and tells the truth. Just like he does in our gospel reading. That Jesus shares the life of the poor from cradle to cross. He experiences hunger, thirst, and privation. Jesus sets his face on Jerusalem. Jesus' ascent to Jerusalem. And of course, this one city that he went to did not accept him. So what did Jesus do? Jesus moved on. And that's what we have to do, my brothers and sisters, as believers. We have to pray for our brothers and sisters. Yes, our brothers and sisters who are in sin, who are living the lives of debauchery, we must pray for them and love them till the very end. Continue to pray and continue to love them. Family members, people who we work with, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, mothers and fathers who are very far away from the truth. In case you're just joining us, my brothers and sisters, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We just got about 10 minutes left. But the scriptures are very powerful. Very powerful finishing up this week. And also reminding us, you know, the 4th of July, of course, is this week, is this Thursday. But we think about this independence. We think about this freedom that we have. There is responsibility with freedom, my brothers and sisters. There is great responsibility with freedom. And we have to be sure, especially politicians, have to be careful what they promise and why they're promising it. Okay? And you can't promise things to people that make people want to come to the United States, come to the United States, come to the United States, and then they get hurt on the way. See? And we cause a political upheaval. See? We must think about all the things that we say and we do. And be honest with ourselves and be honest with others. This is a country of laws. A country of rules and regulations that have to be, yes, they do have to be respected. But laws and things that we object to, we need to object to those things too. If it's on the basis of morals and common sense. That's common sense. But listen to Paul. And this is the main thing I want to focus in is on Galatians. That Jesus had set us free by his glorious cross. For this freedom, Christ sets us free. Christ has set us free. Rebellion of the flesh against the spirit. Think about that. I'm going to do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. Well, I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, I know I'm in recovery. I know what it's like to live the life of the flesh. It's disastrous. It's total darkness. And evil is real. It's real. I've experienced it firsthand. But I also know what grace is. And what love is. And what truth is. And what light is. And what Jesus Christ is. And Christ is the way. He is the answer. Getting on our knees and praying and begging for God's forgiveness. For the way that we have treated his creation, ourselves. He created us. And truly being repentant of that. That's the answer. That's freedom. Okay? You know, we can't be, act like we're 17 years old our whole lives. We can. But it's going to end disastrously, believe me, unfortunately. Concupiscence, this intense human desire, the movement of the sensitive appetite contrary to human reason. Hear that? So my flesh, our flesh, we want to do the wrong thing. Paul talks about that all the time. Jesus talks about that all the time. How our flesh is wounded. And then we have that. We have the wounds of our very own lives. You know, relationships that haven't worked out. Relationships with our parents. Relationships with our brothers and sisters that have not worked out. That have ended very badly. Over simple things. Over small amounts of money. Over large amounts of money. But is it worth our salvation? And my brothers and sisters, it's not a once and done thing, okay? When we go into the kingdom of heaven, God is going to judge us on what we have done and what we have failed to do. God is going to do that. Not you, not me, not our pastor, not our cleric, not our theology. God is going to judge us. What will the answer be? Come forward, good and faithful servant? Or will we be dismissed to the darkness? If that's the way we've lived, maybe we have chosen that. See? Also, my brothers and sisters, so read these scriptures this weekend. These are great scriptures, especially that Galatians chapter 5, 1, and then 13 through 18 on this. What we choose, excuse me, what we choose each and every day. Choose the flesh, feed the flesh, or do I get on my knees and pray, feed the spirit? That battle between the good wolf and the bad wolf. See, it's in each and every one of us, my brothers and sisters. We cannot deny it. And sometimes it's who we hang out with too, who our friends are, or we call them our friends. Are they our friends? Or are we codependent in addiction, you know, to drugs, alcohol, sex, money, power, politics, hatred, you know, division? That is not love. That is not happiness. That is not living. That is dying. A slow death. So I remind you to go to EWTN.com and look up St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body. And this is perfect. You know, if you want something to study deeply about the human condition, why we do what we do, why we don't do the right thing, and why we choose the wrong thing, Theology of the Body is a beautiful thing. So I'm going to just a couple of things. The 24th, this is the general audience of the 16th of April, 1980. The Holy Father continued his catechesis on theology of the body by turning to Christ's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, on adultery in the heart. See? I think we talked about that a little bit last weekend, but here's the next one. So I'm going to add both this one in there too. So this is the ethical and anthropological content of the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Wow. It's a commandment, my brothers and sisters, that we shall not commit adultery. Just like the eighth commandment about that we should not lie. Right? We should not lie. And I'm thinking about that, we should not lie. I remind you once again to go to SaveNazareth.com and go there and look at the information on what's going on out at Nazareth and the historical chapel and mother house there. It reminded me of it. But these commandments are written to save our lives, to set us free, to truly make us free. And Christ makes us free. But at this general audience, the 23rd of April, 1980, Pope John Paul continues his series on theology of the body. He examined the meaning of adultery, which is a breach in the unity of husband and wife, even only if by an interior act, adultery of the heart. He cited the case of David and Bathsheba. And we know that story, but it's go on to EWTN's website, EWTN.com, and look at that, Theology of the Body by Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II. And just this beautiful theology on what we're made for, my brothers and sisters. Our bodies are sacred. And they should not be used as things. And they should not be objectified. And they should not be sold into slavery. But what we do, my brothers and sisters, is we sell ourselves into slavery. Drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever. Power. We sell ourselves into slavery. And our master is none other than the devil. See? So I hope this week, as you pray for yourselves, pray for your families, pray for our country. Pray for the United States of America and this independence and all my brothers and sisters who have given their very lives for this country. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. God bless America. We love you.